Scriptures I had before we get started. We know Jesus born of a virgin, his mother Mary, right? Born of a virgin, about 2 years old. They say he's about 2 years old, but he actually received the gifts from the wise men. So born of a virgin, born in a manger, right? Because there was no room in the inn. And so at about 2 years old, they say he actually was when the wise men visited him, and he got a gift of frankincense and myrrh. And what was the other one? Gold, right? And it wasn't long after that that they actually had to take off and go live in Egypt for a few years. And so they received a gift, and they had, because Herod, who had talked to the wise men said, hey, we're looking for this king that is coming, the king of the Jews, the king of the world, right? And Herod said, when you find this king, let me know. Well, they were warned by a dream not to go back to Herod because they'd been deceived by him. He actually wanted to kill the Christ child. So that's actually why they went to Egypt, and probably off that frankincense and myrrh and gold, probably lived off of that for a couple of years while they were in Egypt. Man, the Lord is a provider, isn't he? All through the Bible, he gives us steps and shows us he is our provider. Amen. And so then they go and live in Nazareth. They come back, they go live in Nazareth, correct? And Jesus, we think, was his father, Joseph, was a carpenter, so raised as a carpenter's son. And then he starts his ministry about 30 years of age. And so a couple of scriptures I just want you to keep in mind, because these won't be the main scriptures that I have today, but a couple of scriptures to keep in mind for when we, at the end, when we take communion. And the first scripture I have is John 1:29. And so it says, the next day, and this is talking about John, who was baptized in there, John the Baptist, and he said, if you got that first scripture, it says, John 1:29 says, the next day, this John the Baptist, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Son of God. Does it say the Son of God? No, it doesn't. Behold, the King of Kings, right? Behold, him who was and is to come. Did it say that? No, it's interesting that the first time that John the Baptist gets to introduce Jesus, I think this is causing problems. I can hear it. It's bothering me anyway. The first time he sees Jesus and John the Baptist has an opportunity to introduce Jesus, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Isn't that amazing? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is John the Baptist's introduction to God in the flesh. You see, in the Old Covenant, a sacrifice was required, and a lamb represented a sacrifice many of the times. And so in Hebrews 9:22, in the Amplified Version, it says, in fact, unless under the law, at that time when Jesus was born, under the law, almost everything is cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, neither release from sin and its guilt, nor cancellation of the merited punishment. Amen. So we know that everything under the law was cleansed with blood. And we know during that time that a lamb was sacrificed. And can you imagine a little innocent lamb? Who did that lamb harm? Nobody, right? Cute little lamb having to give his life for a family or somebody because it said blood was required at that time for just a covering. It wasn't even a cleansing, but a covering. So just keep that in mind when we come back at the end. It's powerful. But this morning, I actually want to talk about receiving from God. Receive him from Christ this Christmas. Receiving. Receiving from God. Do you believe that you can receive from God? A lot of times people don't really think about it, but God is always wanting us to receive from him. I think of just as an example, maybe a crude example, but at Christmas time, children are thinking about receiving, right? They always think about receiving. They're excited about Christmas, and adults, you know, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, they're kind of focused on giving, right? Giving a gift. But you know that we're God's children, right? And that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Did you know he's always in a mood of giving? And I wonder sometimes, just to speaking to today, are we always in a mood or understanding to receive from God? I've learned as I've been looking at this and studying it the last month, the Lord's been challenging me, saying, Chad, are you really a receiver? Or do you have this mindset really to please God that you've always got to be a giver? And let me say this, there's nothing wrong with being a giver. What's that scripture that we have in Acts 20:35? Sometimes we can get confused of when we hear scriptures like this. We can take this one scripture and wrap it around a whole philosophy or our thoughts. And then that scripture says, "Yet everything I showed you that you, by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Well, that one scripture there, that could, like, well, what are we talking about? But let me say as we go through this that we're talking about people that are giving out of what they've received from God. We're talking about people who have the Holy Spirit that are walking in ministry, and they're definitely giving. But they're giving out of what God has gave them. Oh, I do believe in giving and sowing and reaping. But one thing that God has been showing me is that to be effective in our lives with Christ, or to even have any confidence with God, we've got to know how to be a receiver of God this morning. My prayer this morning as we continue on this before we take communion, that our hearts saying, Lord, I want to receive from you. Regardless of what's going on in your life, Lord, I'm telling you what, if there's hardships going on in your life, that's when more than ever we need to say, Lord, I receive of you. Lord, what He's always in a mood to give. To those who don't know Him, He wants to give eternal life. He's always in a mood to. And as I've learned this, it's brought such peace in my life. Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it, but I receive from you. Father God, I don't feel like I've sacrificed enough maybe for you, but I still receive from you this morning. Pastor Lee was talking about receiving last week, and I told him, Pastor Lee, you preached my message. Some of the scriptures he used, but it just showed me that in the mind of God and His people is that they'd be receivers. It's not, sometimes we think of receiving, we're thinking, well, gosh, I don't want to be, the word I'm trying to think of is selfish. Sometimes religion says, if you've got an attitude receiving, you're selfish. You need to be a giver. You need to sacrifice. And there's times for that, but that's, you've got to learn to be a receiver first. Amen? And so there's a perfect story in the Bible I want to look at, that when you look at it, man, it's got so many little nuggets of truth for you and I this morning. And that scripture is talking about the story of Martha and Mary. You guys heard of Martha and Mary? And see, they had a brother named Lazarus, who Jesus later on in His ministry raised from the dead. And as you look at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, you come to realize that not only were they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, He who was sent to be the Savior of the world, but they were actually friends with Him. They were one of those few people, like with Mary Magdalene, who had, was it seven devils or six devils cast out of her? She was a friend of God, a friend of Jesus. And so when I look at Mary and Martha and their brother, they were actually friends of Jesus. One of that tight group of few individuals that weren't necessarily, they weren't one of the apostles and called to do great exploits as far as ministry, but they were close with Jesus. As a matter of fact, when Lazarus had died or was dying, they went and called. Jesus was in another area, was in another town, and they sent for Jesus, basically saying, Jesus, you know us, you love our brother, come, he's sick, he's ill. And we know the rest of the story that what Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But in this story, I want to talk about in Luke 10, 38 through 42. It says, now, as they were traveling, that was Jesus, I think, and his disciples. They were traveling along. He entered a village, and a woman named Mary, Martha, welcomed him into their home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. So you could imagine that Jesus with his entourage, probably his disciples, but there wasn't, you know, there was quite a few people, but there was enough that they, let's say they got into the living room. They were in this living room of Mary and Martha's. And the first thing Mary does is as Jesus comes in, she's like at the front row. She's at the front row. Jesus is speaking. Now, this might be his apostles and a few close friends, so it'd be interesting to know what Jesus was talking about amongst friends, wouldn't it? And she couldn't wait. Her focus is, I'm on the front row there. I want to hear what Jesus has to say. People, the disciples, you could imagine there, right? As Jesus is talking, the disciples around, but she made sure she had a front row seat, we'll say in the living room, okay, of this home. And in verse 40, But it says, but Martha was distracted with all the preparations. So she's probably making a meal, you know? She's probably making a turkey meal, right? I mean, it's Christmas time right now, so let's imagine she wasn't making a ham, right, during that time. So we're going to have to say she was making a turkey and some yams, right? She had to be making yams, right? Amen. So we're getting ready for a meal. We've got friends over. We've got a lot of people over. And she's sitting there starting to prepare. She's preparing and probably setting the table and thinking, man, where am I going to put all these hungry disciples and these people here? As I'm cooking, I'm trying to set out the dishes. And as she's kind of setting the dishes, I could imagine she's kind of looking at Mary. Not with a smile either. Because she's checking the temperature of the turkey. She's checking the yams, all the other vegetables, bread, setting the table, getting the dishes done. So she's got one eye on the turkey and she's got one eye on Mary. Right? Probably talking underneath her breath. You ever heard people talk underneath their breath? And you ask them what they're saying. Oh, just singing to myself. And it didn't sound like you were singing. But it says here, verse 40, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations. Amen? With all her preparations. You know that we all have preparations. Is it wrong to be working hard and be busy and doing things? No, that's part of life. That's how we get things accomplished. Even the Apostle Paul said, hey, I'm glad that I work harder than all of them, but not me, but the grace and power of God in me. So it wasn't the thing about working, right? It was the thing about she was distracted. So understand that hard work doesn't mean you're distracted necessarily. And she came up to him. So who did, this is Martha. She came up to who? She came up to Jesus and said, I find it interesting that it doesn't record that she came up to Mary and said, Mary, I need your help. I start getting maybe from this picture that Martha and Mary have kind of had this conversation before. And Martha has this attitude of, you know what, if I talk to Mary, I kind of know what's going to happen here. So I think if I can go talk to Jesus, he'll set Mary straight. Set Mary straight. Mary, I'm distracted because of you. Mary, my problems are because of you. I love you, but you need to kick it in gear. So that's why she doesn't go to Mary. I think they've had this conversation over and over, and she sees this opportunity, says, ha, I'm going to go to Jesus. And you know what? Jesus is going to have a talk with Mary about what she's doing here, about her attitude, about her focus. Mary, get your focus. Mary, your focus isn't right. We're not getting anything accomplished here. And so in that verse 40 again, it's in the latter part, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Obviously, does anybody notice I'm just on my own here? Everybody else is focused on Jesus talking. You know, Mary, we could listen to him talk anytime. Don't you know right now we need to be about preparation? And I think if we start seeing, and then he says, then tell her to help me. Jesus, you tell her that she needs to change a few things. She needs to help me. After all, man, I'm here by myself. So we kind of get the background that there's been some things going on, I think, long before Jesus ever got there. And it's powerful. Martha did not hear at all what she thought she was going to hear. Listen with ears this morning how the Lord loves us, how he cares for us. We get these next scripture too, just tells you how the simplicity of hearing his voice, the simplicity of the gospel, huh, Bob? But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. You know, when I hear that, I think this goes well beyond just preparing a meal for people. Martha, you've allowed a lot of things to distract you and to bring frustration in your life. You're worried about so many things. It goes not just today, Martha. But then I love what this in verse 42, he says, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part. Amen. Which shall not be taken away from her. What did she choose? What's the good part? She was receiving from the Lord. She understood she was receiving from him. Yes, and then she's the one that understood. Man, I can do this anytime. I've got the King of Kings before me, the Lord of Lords, and I'm going to receive from him. And Jesus said, that's not going to be taken away from her. Let me talk about a few more things here if I can. You guys with me still? Amen? You hanging in there? So a couple things I want to talk about. It says if we're talking about receiving, then the question is what is the Father trying to give us, right? What is he trying to give us? Well, we know a few things. I have just a couple things that I want to mention here. Obviously, the first thing that God wants us to receive is forgiveness of sins, right? Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness, him being Jesus, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Just today, I don't know where your walk is with the Lord, or if you've even thought about it. I don't know everybody here. I know a lot of people here. But you know that as far as salvation and walking with Jesus, the first thing is just simply believing in him and receiving. Lord, I receive the forgiveness of sins. Lord, I believe and receive you as the Son of God. Lord, I receive your Holy Spirit in my life. Nothing simply but like childlike faith saying, Lord, I receive this morning. Maybe this morning as I'm speaking, the Lord is speaking to your heart and say, man, yes, I want to receive from the Lord, but I need to get this straightened out. And I'm not quite ready, and this is going on in my life. You're distracted by many things. But you can set that aside today and say, Lord, I simply receive from you. It's that simple. It's that simple. Because what did Jesus say? He said, only one thing is required. Mary's chosen that one thing. She's receiving from me this morning. Or the afternoon, that evening, she's receiving from me. She's that front row. She's eager. She knows I am the way, the truth, and the life. She's chosen the better way. And it was just simply receiving from the Lord. And then in John 1:12. But as many as received him, amen, as many as worked hard, as many that made those necessary sacrifices, as many as got some of their sin and their garbage out of the way and got cleaned up, right? No, not at all. It says right here, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name. Let me ask you, do you believe in his name this morning? Do you know when we talk about Christmas, as we take communion, is believing that Jesus is the Son of God and simply saying, Lord, I receive you. He'll do the work in your life. He'll do the cleaning. He'll do the changing. I know that when I came here 10 years ago, man, I thought, what is, Lord, I give up. And maybe today you just need to say, Lord, I give up. And today I receive from you. Amen. Today is the new day. His mercies are new when? Every morning. Amen? Yeah. His mercies are new every morning. So we're talking about forgiveness of sins. That's what he wants us to receive. Second thing I want to mention today is peace. Receiving peace. Do we need peace in this world today? I tell you, us human beings, we go through so many different things to try to obtain peace, but a lot of times it just leads to exhaustion. And once again, it's usually an effort of trying to get all our ducks in a row, somehow, whatever that means in our lives, to obtain peace. But what's the Word of God say about peace this morning? Look at me, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And this is obviously a Christmas verse. It says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Amen, Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you haven't experienced peace, I've learned it's because we become distracted. We become distracted. But He is the Prince of Peace, and He lives in us. And God wants us to walk in peace. Amen? If there's anything the world needs today, it is peace. So the first thing is, He's shed his blood for our sins. We have salvation. The second thing, he gives us peace. Amen? Peace. I love this scripture of Philippians 4:6-7. I love this. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. If you're worried, give it to the Lord this morning. If you're worried, give it to the Lord. And it says, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. Have you been telling God your needs? Sometimes when we can get distracted, we forget to tell God our needs. We start just focusing on what's going on. This morning, we can tell him our needs. And I love this next phrase. Pray to tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. Wow. In advance. Thank you, Lord, for your answers this morning in my life. Thank you. You know what that is it's an indication of saying, Lord, I believe you, and I'm going to trust you. Thank you for your answers. See, it can seem like, well, that's counter. I'll thank him after the answers. But no, the way to walk in peace is you start thanking him in advance for those answers. Right? Amen? Saying, Lord, that you're going to take care of this. I can trust you. I can walk in peace even in the midst of a struggle. Even in the midst of a storm in my life, I'm thanking you now for your answer. And when I thank him now, I begin to walk in his peace as I trust him. Amen? Do you believe that? If you do this, you will experience God's peace. You know what they call that? A promise in his word. A promise. The promises of God are yes and amen. And the promises of God, what you can take to the bank, can't you? So if you do this, do what? Thank him for the answers. Lord, I'm telling you my needs. I'm trusting you to bring the answers. Lord, I can't just trust in my own strength because it ends in frustration. We can trust him for the answers. Amen. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Amen for your rest, Father God. We thank you for your rest. Thank you for your rest and your peace this morning, Father. I receive that this morning, your rest and your peace. Amen. Thank you, Father. Number three, I want to talk about success in life. And out of that abundance, we give. One thing I've come to realize and believe, and I'm not ashamed, is, Lord, you're my success. You lead and guide me, Father God. You're my provision. I remember when I was younger, I believed in God, but it's like I had this thing in me saying, I'm going to make my own way. But as I've grown older and more mature, now maturing in the Lord, I'm saying, Lord, thank you for making a way for me. I don't want to beat my head against the wall anymore. Thank you for opening doors for me. Thank you for taking care of my needs according to your riches and glory. Father, I'm trusting you. When you do that, you can walk in peace. One thing, you can be successful in life, but if you don't have no peace, it does not matter. Whether you have little or a lot, when you don't have peace, it doesn't matter. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Amen. If you attend this church and you know this scripture very well, and it's a powerful scripture, Romans 5:17. And I've got this, I'm bringing out this scripture because it has the word receive in it. Once again, receive. So it says, "If for by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Amen. We know that Adam and Eve blew it. Sin entered into the world. The curse entered this world. But we know that what? The curse was broken over mankind, over us who believe in him, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Because Jesus is our righteousness. Amen. So that scripture saying, Lord, you are my success. They shall reign in life. And I can tell you what, part of that reigning in life and giving our lives to him and him being our righteousness is walking in that peace. Father, we thank you this morning for leading and guiding our lives. The purpose of every individual in here, God, it's different for each one of us what reigning in life means. Different callings, different purposes, different personalities, different giftings, right? But one thing that's a promise of God is he's called us to reign in life. Doesn't mean we will not have any struggles, but we will be victorious through each one of them. Amen? Greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world, correct? We shall tread over snakes and scorpions and over all the work of the enemy, the Bible says. Part of that reigning in life, salvation, his peace, and then reigning in life. Amen. So as I continue here and we're going to take communion, what keeps us from receiving? Well, 40, and back in verse 40, Bill, if you can bring back up Luke 10:38-42, was she was busy working and preparing. Amen. It's okay to be busy and working, but that was causing a distraction because she was busy looking at others and what they should be being, what they should be doing, excuse me. And I have to ask myself, say, hey, Chad, have you put your eyes on what other people are doing and what they should or shouldn't be doing? We can do that with our wife or husband. Amen. Hello. Children. We can start looking at what other people could be doing, and that will stop us. We don't even realize that. It stops us from receiving because we're focused on what other people should be doing. Let me encourage you this Christmas season to lay that aside and say, Lord, I want to receive from you. Those things that cause distraction, they cause us to get upset, uptight, Father God. I'm not looking what other people are doing, Father God. I'll pray for those in need. I can pray for the situation, but the only thing I can do, Father, is put myself in a situation to receive from you this morning. Amen. So in receiving, how do we receive? Verse 39 of that. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. You know, this morning, I may be speaking, but the Lord is speaking to you. This morning, you're at the Lord's feet. Amen. You've got a front row to hearing what the Lord is speaking into your heart this morning. Are you hearing? Are you ready to receive from him this morning? Do you have that attitude that, Lord, I'm ready to hear from you? I'm putting out all those distractions, Father. I need to receive from you this morning. There's people here this morning that realize, I need to receive from you, Lord, this morning. Put yourself at the feet of Jesus this morning, can you? Can you put yourself at the feet of Jesus? If you do that, if you realize, Lord, I'm ready to receive. He is more than willing to give this morning. Amen. Heartaches, pain, frustration. Amen. Hurts. Whatever it is, are you this morning saying, Lord, I set those aside and I receive from you. Amen. Amen, Lord, at your feet. And then verse 40, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Amen. Amen. Listening to his word. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name, Father. We don't have a lot of time yet left this morning, but Father, we realize you've been speaking to our hearts. Has he been speaking to your heart this morning? Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, maybe this morning you just need to receive. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Jesus, I believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. No man can be restored into relationship with God who loves us so much, but through Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, if you believe his blood, that he was hung on a cross, shed his blood, and raised from the dead, if you believe that this morning, you'll receive salvation. You'll receive his Holy Spirit. You'll receive his strength. He'll put you on a new path. I'm not saying everything is just a bowl of cherries, right? But I'm telling you that he will bring total and complete satisfaction and peace into your life. I know it. I've experienced it. I'm one of those who's experienced it. There's a lot of people that I know here who've experienced that. Amen? You can receive that this morning. Or this morning, maybe you're just saying, you know what? I've been focusing on some other things I shouldn't, Lord, and I didn't even think about why I'm not receiving from you. Lord, I haven't been at your feet. When I at his feet just mean, Lord, speak to me from your word. Lord, when I'm at church, speak to me. Lord, when I'm in my vehicle and I'm praying to you, I can be right there at your foot, at your feet, Lord. I can be receiving from you wherever I am. It doesn't have to be in a living room. It doesn't have to be in a church. But Lord, wherever I have an understanding that you want to give to me, I'm going to receive. Amen. We're going to take communion a minute together, but I want us to pray together. Can we pray together? I want us to pray. If you're here and you would like to pray a prayer just saying, Lord Jesus, I want to accept you as my Savior. Jesus, you're speaking to my life. I believe there's the Lord is speaking to some people this morning. Or maybe if you pray this prayer with me together, just saying, Lord, I just want to get back to where I need to be to receive from you. One thing I'm realizing, even in the last 30 days, is just challenging my own life to saying, Lord, the self-worth, He is our righteousness. He loves us. Sometimes people don't receive from him because they have no self-worth. but they can't possibly receive anything. Man, that's the reason why he came and died for us. Amen. Some people can't receive love. They don't think it's worth it. But let him. Let me tell you this morning. He loves you with a dying love. You've heard that saying, undying love. Well, he loves you with a dying love on the cross, shedding his blood, being raised from the dead. So maybe this morning you're saying, Lord, I'm getting back some things to receive from you, Father God. I'm setting some things aside, like Martha was so frustrated. Maybe you've been looking at, maybe you've looked at people before and said, they're hypocrites. I don't want religion. Maybe you've seen hypocrisy. Let me this morning take your eyes off that and put them on Jesus. He will not let you down. You don't worry about what other people are doing. He still loves you. Amen. Amen. You ready to pray with me? All together? Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, I believe you are God. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you hung on a cross for my sins. Jesus, I believe you rose from the grave, that you're at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, come inside me. Live inside me by your Spirit. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, and after service, if you want to speak with somebody or have somebody pray with you, would you come up here? We'd be glad to pray with you. We'd love to hear that maybe you either gave your life to Jesus, to God this morning, or that maybe you just want to tell somebody, hey, you know, I'm making a recommitment to receiving from him, a recommitment to receive from God, from Jesus. Amen. Did everybody get an element? If you did not get an element, Mike, did we have any extra elements? Michael, do we have any extra elements, sir? If you did not receive one, can you raise your hand? We've got a few hands up here. Most everybody has an element. And we're going to do our best to open these things. Do you love the Lord this morning? Are you blessed? I am blessed. So if you have one of these things, I think you have to like take this little lid thing and kind of go up and down with it. And then the plastic, if you want to go ahead and remove the plastic. Did you get one, Val? We have another one over here, Mike. Okay, we got it taken care of. Thank you. So you gotta twist that thing, and then the clear plastic comes off, right? Then you have the cracker or what, a wafer. Thank you. We call that a wafer. And then once you have that wafer, you can take this and remove that and take, you can get, and hopefully if you're careful, you won't spill any on yourself. Sorry we have to give instructions for this. But that's better than you finally just throwing it against the wall. Trying to figure it out, amen? Real quick, just hold this up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I can't believe what you're doing in our lives, Lord. I can't believe what you're doing in my life. Regardless of your age, how young you are, or how old you are, receive from the Lord this morning, would you? Receive from him this morning. Now, I had mentioned before when I wanted to say that the words that I speak, Jesus said, I speak to you, our spirit, and they are life. It's not what I'm saying, it's just what his Spirit is saying to you. Amen. So Jesus became that sacrificial lamb that I started out with, right? Remember? And behold the Lamb of God. What was John talking about? Well, it says Jesus, you know, Jesus became the sacrificial lamb for the sin of the world and for the sin of each individual. Jesus became the sacrificial lamb for my sins. Man, that's the only way my sins can be washed away, through the blood of the Lamb. And so I wanted to, as we go, I wanted to read in 1 Corinthians 11. as we take communion. This is from Paul. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Let's take the bread. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body.'" This is a representation. This isn't going to give any type of special anointing. This is just a reminder. This is reminding us of what Jesus has accomplished for us, so that we can receive from him this morning. Amen? So there's no special power in just saying, "Lord, yes, I realize, I understand, Father God, what you accomplished for me. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread together. Amen. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant." No more walking under rules and regulations that we can in no way maintain or keep, right? This is the cup in my new covenant of my blood. "Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." He's coming again, isn't he? Amen. He's coming again for his church. Amen. Let's drink the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, do you love him this morning? We're going to have the worship team come up. Don't forget to stay with us after the service today. Has the Lord spoken to you this morning? Are you blessed this morning? Man, I pray that we're receiving from him like never before. Thank you, Lord. Well, shall we stand? Want to stand up? Can we go ahead and stand up? We're going to actually sing a... I don't know if Pastor Lee has anything he wants to say, but we're going to be dismissing here in a minute, but we're going to sing a song.
Amen. And I just want to say how much I appreciate the ministry I received this morning from Chad.
Yes.
Powerful stuff, and I know you did as well. Pray that you have a wonderful, blessed, fulfilled, safe, and anointed Christmas in
amen.
Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you for coming and being part of this family service. Yeah. We're going to dismiss with this song. So
thank you.
God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas. Remember, there are a few of us who remain up here to pray with you. If you'd like to be prayed with, have a wonderful week in Jesus. Thank you for coming. Next week, we'll have childcare, everything in place as normal. Hope you enjoyed this family service like we did. God bless you and have a wonderful week. Merry Christmas.